Morning, church. I'm putting this over here. Can you still hear me? That's the miracle of this thing. All right. Welcome, everybody. Pastor Rick is on a journey, and I have some information from him that I'll read in just a second, but it sure is great to look out and see everybody's faces, almost all of your faces, you know, depending on where the mask is, right? And it's just great to be here. And aren't these crazy times? You know, the Lord has provided this beautiful place and the beautiful weather to be out here at this time. And that is just fantastic. But that's in response to all this craziness that's going on. Our pastor has been up in Oregon, and he sent this to me to say, please give the OCC family this greeting tomorrow at church. And he says, greetings from the Dalles, Oregon, to all our Occidental Community Church family. Sue and I, along with our granddaughter Jordan and her five-month-old daughter Luna, arrived in the Dalles last Monday night safe and sound after a 12-and-a-half-hour drive. A lot of stops along the way for the baby, but a problem-free drive. We are staying at Sue's youngest sister, Beth, and her husband, Greg, on their cherry orchard on a hill overlooking the Columbia River and the Dalles Dam. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, beautiful spot. We have been helping a bit with picking cherries and getting them ready to sell to customers. This morning, Saturday, we were at the local farmer's market where they sell their cherries and other products from the orchard. We enjoyed a lot of good local food. And by the way, there's a cardboard box back there. Rick sent little Ziploc bags of cherries that he picked, I believe, up there in Oregon, and they're available for free back there. And has anybody had any of those yet? They're pretty good, aren't they? Last Sunday, we asked you to pray that we would be allowed to visit with Sue's mother, Donzella, who lives in a nursing home up there. They've not been allowing visitors very often since March because of the COVID-19 fears. The first one was last Friday. We have another today, Sunday at 1 p.m., another Monday at 11 a.m. These are 20-minute visits outdoors with plexiglass separating us, but we will take what we can. She looks very well. She was in good spirits, especially seeing her great-great-granddaughter for the first time. Thank you for your faithful prayers. We are seeing other friends who will live in the area, and we are taking things slowly each day. We are getting good rest and sleeping very well at night. We will be driving home Thursday and plan to be back in church next Sunday. God bless you all. We think of you and pray for you daily. Our love to all, Pastor Rick and Sue. So it sounds like God is really blessing them, and he in turn has been blessing us by giving us cherries. So be sure and get some, would you? Another announcement, Women's Bible Study started up this week, right? And it's right here or right over there. And that's Tuesday. Right. Okay, Women's Bible Study, that's Tuesday at 9:30, is that right? Right here, right over there. So anybody interested in that, please be here. We also have a prayer box that's back there, 3x5 cards that you can write prayer requests on. We don't really have a good setup for sharing prayer like we would do back at the church building, but we've had some requests. We need to pray for Judy Splitter. Jared needs a place for his tiny home to live. Apparently there's been some issues. He's broken up with his girlfriend, and he needs a place for his tiny home to be. So we need to pray for Jared on that. We need to continue to pray for Carrie, for cancer issues, and for Cece as well. There was also a card there from Tim that said, he says, pray for my team out at Alliance. We're at the end of our build yurt tree houses. So that's what he's at. Any time I have as many as a dozen people 20 to 60 feet off the ground. And we have to be done by 7:15 or the 18th at the latest. Pray for safety, wisdom, and direction. And also leadership at the camp, that not just to survive the camp, because they don't have their normal camp schedule going on there, but that their program can start in some fashion, and that they can reopen at some point in time. So let's just pray for these needs first. Father God, you are the great God. You know us. You love us. You care for us. You protect us, Father. And you know these needs, but we pray, Lord, for Cece, and we pray for Carrie, Lord, that your healing touch would be on them, that you would deliver them from this disease of cancer, that you'd give them strength, give them just the understanding and just the comfort that you bring by your Holy Spirit, Father. We pray for Pastor Rick and a safe return home on his journey, Lord. We do pray for Alliance Redwoods, that you would continue the ministry there in whatever form that you have, that bless those servants that follow your will and your way and provide for those that have need there, Lord. Just bless them. Pray, Lord, that your will open that camp back up for the many that come to hear your word and hear it for the first time, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. We pray for Jared, Lord, that he would find a place for his tiny home, that he would find a place with you, Lord, guide him, direct him, and just give him your peace in this time in his life. May he turn to you for comfort and for your grace. And we pray this and all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to take a look at a much-loved psalm of comfort that may be just what we need in these kind of crazy times that we have. Has everybody got a sheet there? And that is Psalm 121. Let's read it. Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Bless it to our hearts. Well, this psalm, it says at the top, has a good little title on it. It says it's a song of ascents. And if you take a look in the Psalms, there's 15 of them that have this title on them that say Song of Ascents. And that's Psalm 120 up to Psalm 134. And these Psalms were collected together and has this title on it because it had a certain function. And that function was a pilgrimage, a pilgrim's going to Jerusalem would sing these songs as they traveled three times a year to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, Wendell, you've been there. That's on top of a hill, isn't it? As you go to Jerusalem, you ascend up to Jerusalem. And if you're journeying from anywhere in Israel, you got to go up to get to Jerusalem. So this is a psalm of ascents. Now, remember, these are written quite a long time ago, and probably all of these, as collected together, were written maybe over a period of several hundred years. But they've been put together. The children of Israel would use these as songs as they sung on their journey to Jerusalem. Now, why were they going to Jerusalem? Three times a year, it was required that a feast, you know, one of the seven feasts of the Jewish people, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Tabernacles, were times when the people had to travel to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. So in traveling to Jerusalem, they would be singing these songs. And somebody had said, You know, probably at some point in time, somebody said, well, tell us the favorite songs that you were singing on your way to Jerusalem. And people would think, yeah, okay, there was this one, and there was this one, and that one. And they said, well, great, let's put those, you know, together as like the greatest hits. And they got the name Song of Ascents on the top. And these were the songs that were sung years and year after year after year as the Israelites would travel to Jerusalem to celebrate. Now, they would travel to Jerusalem to celebrate, to worship the Lord. Yeah, the Lord commanded it, but they, in obedience, would travel the roads to Jerusalem to gather for sometimes a week at a time to celebrate the Lord. Can you imagine what an exciting time that was to be with the children of Israel, going up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord and celebrate? This was just no ordinary trip. This was a trip to celebrate. And why did they do that? They did that because Jerusalem is where the Lord was. They wanted to be with the Lord. What an exciting time. Josephus, who is a Jewish historian of 1st century AD, he said that there were many times, well over a million people who would gather for these feasts to worship the Lord together. Can you imagine what a time that was? And Psalm 121 was one of the songs that they sang along the way. And they traveled from all over Israel, both way in the north, Sinai Peninsula in the south, and they would come up to Jerusalem over difficult terrain and in varied weather and with lots of people sometimes. Why did they go? Why did they have this pilgrimage? Why did they take this journey? Because God was there. Have you ever been on a journey? I bet you have. I'll tell you about a journey that we have been on. And this isn't a journey that, our journey to adopt our children, especially in the very beginning. And some of you may have heard this story, but this journey started when Catherine and I got married. And Catherine, you know, if I leave something out, it's okay. You can stand up and shout it out and add to that story. But it started when we got married. Catherine was a single mom. Little Stephanie was about, 6 years old? Something like that. And we decided to get married. Well, we wanted to have a family and have more children. But Catherine, for physical reasons, was unable to have any more kids. And we got married. So we decided we're going to take the path of adoption. And we started on that journey. After doing some initial exploration and finding out, well, how does this work? Where do you do this? And how can we do this process? We were told about a ministry that was happening at Calvary Chapel Downey. And they had a ministry to birth mothers. And as part of that ministry, adoption was an option for those birth mothers. And there'd been a lot of adoptions happening out of that place. And so we thought, well, that's a great place. We need to go and get our name on the list there. So we did. And they had a whole system of classes that we attended about parenting, about adopting, and all of that. And then you get on the list, and we went through all of that, and we were excited to do this. And one of those open adoption situations where the birth mother, you know, looks through some number of files and decides who they would like to raise their child. So we were on the list, excited to be there, and they said, nobody waits over a year, right? Nobody has ever waited over a year on that. So go home and get ready. So we did. We went home and got a room ready, and this was in Southern California in Orange County when we were living down there. And then we waited, and a year went by, and we didn't get a call. I don't know, maybe 2 years went by, something like that. We kind of had some feelers out elsewhere, but we were still on the list. And then I had a job relocation and a job change to Sonoma County, so we came up here and got the house that we're still in there, and we waited. We were still on the list. And then we waited, and we explored some options here in Sonoma County, and none of those panned out. So we waited. 6 years went by, and we were still waiting. And we got a call We got a call that we had been chosen. From the list, we had been chosen. There was a young mother that was pregnant, and she was staying with her brother and sister-in-law in Long Beach, California. And we talked to her on the phone, and we connected, and we got our daughter Stephanie, and we got in the car, and we drove down, and we met her, and she met us, and we liked her, and she liked us, and she was excited to have this adoption happen. And so we went home, and now we were really getting ready. Now we did the room. We had the wallpaper and the bed, the crib, and all of that set up and ready to go. And, you know, the 9 months went by, and we got a call, excited call that said, "It's ready. It's time. I'm going to the hospital. Get ready. Come on down." And we were going to be there when the baby was going to be born, I believe. And so we excitedly packed our things together and got him in the car and got ready to go. And then we got another call. And that call was, I think, from the brother-in-law or something that said, well, she went into labor and the baby was stillborn. So we cried and we prayed and we said, "Lord, what should we do? It's been so long." Well, we got in the car because it was packed, and we went down to Southern California, and we were able to meet with her and her brother and sister-in-law and actually have a little service in their living room. And that was a blessing. That was a blessing for all. It was kind of finalized that part of the journey. But then we got back on the highway and headed home. And the room was still there, and it was empty. Well, time went on. Other life issues happened, and Catherine was dealing with her mother who had terminal cancer and whatnot, and a phone call rang, and it was from somebody in Hawaii. Well, our file had been transferred to Calvary Chapel of Honolulu, and the pastor's wife out there had a similar but smaller program, and we had been picked. And so I answered the phone. I think Catherine was maybe in Southern California, and say, are you interested? You've been picked. And of course I said yes right away. And praise God for that. So we talked to this girl who was staying with family in Hawaii. She was from the United States and was moved out with her parents out there, had gotten into trouble, but wanted to give her baby up for adoption, and we had been picked. So we got in touch with her, and we talked, and got another call that said, "I'm headed for the hospital." So we said, okay, we got our tickets, and we flew out to Hawaii, and we were able to pick up our son, Zachary, you've met him, when he was 2 days old, from her in Hawaii. And that pain of losing that first baby was gone. We had the gift that God had given us. Unfortunately, we had to stay in Hawaii for a week because you can't fly with an infant under 7 days old. So we had a great time with our daughter Stephanie and with Zachary out there in Hawaii, came home. And the rest is history on that part of it. But that was quite a journey. Our journey in adoption didn't end there. 4 years later, we were in China, where we adopted our daughter Janelle, wanted more children and researched international adoptions. We had some other things that came and went in the meantime. Those are other stories for other times. 3 years later, we got a call and said, "There's a baby boy that's waiting for you in Vietnam." We got on the plane. We went to Vietnam, and we were able to pick up our great son, David, and bring him back here. 3 years after that, we found out about a program that was bringing older kids in from Kazakhstan for a summer program for medical reasons and whatnot, and we thought, well, you know, maybe God's calling us to adopt an older child. And we investigated. That was up in Oregon, I believe it was. And that's where these children from this orphanage were being brought for 6-8 weeks in the summertime, was it? And then they would go back. The idea was they would get exposed to families that may potentially want to adopt any of those kids. Well, that was up in Oregon, so that wasn't happening in Santa Rosa or in Sebastopol. So what did my wife do? She organized her own program through them to bring, what, a dozen kids? I guess about a dozen kids to this area to be with families for 6 to 8 weeks. And who we got was our daughter, Aysalu. So as a result of that contact and going back to Kazakhstan, you know, every time we went to a country to go pick up a child, we took everybody with us, you know. And part of that was because we didn't know who else to give them to. And the other part was that we didn't know how long it was going to take, because you're not sure if your paperwork is right, if it's going to come together and that kind of thing. So, yeah, 3 years after we got our son David, little Aysalu came into our lives, and we've been a complete family ever since. And that is our journey for adoption. And, you know, not all journeys that you go on in life are filled with such wonder. And even some of the events in the journey that we had, which I probably left out, weren't so wonderful either. A lot of times our journeys are filled with inconvenience, you know, sometimes it can be a flat tire or something, or even tragedy, and the destination is never reached. You know, sometimes you think about that in these times. Well, should I go to the grocery store in these COVID-19 times? Now, there's a journey, right? Should I go or shouldn't I go? What kind of mask should I have? What place should I be? Should I stand in the corner? Should I be over here? Not all journeys are filled with wonder. Journeys, they have a start, they have a destination, and they have everything that's in between, right? Psalm 121 starts with a pilgrim on his journey to Jerusalem, and he's responding to God's instruction to go and worship. That's where God is. He started on his journey, his destination in mind, Jerusalem, the holy city, and now he's on the in-between, and he has a question. So you read verse 1 and 2. He says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Verse 1 says, he lifts his eyes to the mountains. Now, Jerusalem's up in the mountains too, but mountains also represent danger. You know, mountains are a little harder going. There's animals, wild animals there. There's probably bandits there that would take advantage of those that are pilgrimaging through those mountains. There's also spiritual oppression sometimes. You know, if you read in the Bible in the Old Testament, the mountains were the places where the pagan gods were worshipped and altars were set up in the mountains. A tough place. The mountains have bad guys. And he may have been in the valley of despair when he started, but he looked up to the mountains and said, oh, boy, where does my help come from? So we are Christians, you know, we're all on a journey. We have a journey. We have a start, right? We have a destination, and we have an everything in between. Our Christian journey has a start. Do you remember? Do you remember when you got saved? You heard the gospel, you heard the good news, and God wooed you to himself. He said, yes. You got saved. That was exciting times, right? You couldn't get enough of God's word. And going to church. I want to go to church every day. I want to hear God's word. I want to hear what God has to say to me. The start of your journey. Well, as you learned more about God, his word, his way, and what he has for you, you found out there's an end to your journey. God has called us to himself. He loves us. He has a place for us. And we journey to where we can be with God and experience life in its fullness with all the saints in heaven. He calls us to himself, right? That's the end. That's the glorious end. Well, where are we now? We're in the everything in between. That's where we are. This is where we live and we experience every day. And our fellowship with God and with each other can be beautiful and exhilarating in this every time in between, like it is here this morning. But also we know that life can be dangerous, it can be hard, it can be unfair. unknown dangers come into our lives and they challenge our faith in God. The Lord said that if we follow Him, persecution may follow us, yes, but this is the result of living in a sinful world. Sin is still in this world, and bad things happen. They're bad guys. Our redemption will be complete in the future, but we live in this messy world right now, don't we? You know, the new unknowns in our world right now are bothering us. The unknown dangers, they come into our lives and challenge our faith in God. You know, this COVID-19 virus, I can't even see that thing. It's so small. And you might have it, and you think, I might have it. And so we should stay away. We don't know what to do. It's unknown. Lost income as a result of all this. That's a trouble that's happening in these times. You know, we've recently had reminders of racial injustice and rioting along with that. And then all the crazy masks. We got to wear these masks too. What's going on? Things are not the way they used to be, are they? And the pilgrim asks, where does my help come from? And then he answers his own question. He says, my help comes from the Lord. And it's not just the Lord, it's the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He qualifies that in verse 2. The creator of heaven and earth. He's the one that made everything that we see. He made everything. He's the big God. You know, people sometimes say, oh, I have this God here or I have that God here. Well, that's not the big God. The God we worship is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the big God. In John 1, 1 through 3, the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He's our big God. That's who our help comes from. That's the God we worship. And no situation is greater than our God. He's all-knowing. He's all-present. He's all-powerful. I was listening to Pastor Chuck Smith, who pastored for many, many years down at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa in Southern California, and he said on this, he says, there are so many times that we become so overpowered by our problems that we neglect to realize the great power of God. I'm so overwhelmed. The problem is so big. What am I going to do? And I just get overwhelmed by my difficulties. Until I realize the greatness of the power of God, of the God I serve. And he said, this guy, he says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And Chuck Smith suggested that we ought to start our prayer time with that all the time, with that acknowledgement that our Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, we need to be reminded of the size of the God that we serve. We serve a big God. We serve the big God, right? Jeremiah 3:27 says, behold, I am God. Is there anything too hard for me? That's what he says. You know, on your journey, when you said yes to Jesus, God made a promise to you. He said, you're my child. You're going to be with me in paradise. And I'll give you the Holy Spirit to be with you until that time. That's the in-between time that we live right now. John 14, 2 and 4 says, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going. God has a place for us. He's prepared a place for you. And do we get to that journey on our own? No, Jesus made the way. Jesus, in the fullness of time, when God's time had fully come, God sent His Son, born a woman, born of the law, this is Galatians 4:4, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. Since you are His child, God has made you also an heir. An heir. You're going to go to heaven with Him. And He has the power to keep that promise. As we move on in Psalm 21, we go to verse 3, and we notice there's a little bit of a change in voice here. You know, 1 and 2 says, the pilgrim says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, where does my help come from? Then he declares, yeah, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And then 3 through 7, we kind of hear from someone who knows what's going on. He will not let your foot slip. I think that's God speaking here, you know, reassuring us of what's really going on. Verse 3 says, He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He's going to keep us on the path in this time in between. He will not let our foot slip. He will carry us to our destination. And does he ever sleep? Never. Our Lord never sleeps in his watching over us. You know, in the movies, you know, you see these movies. When does trouble come in the movies, you know, especially in these Westerns? It's when the guy who's been assigned as the night watch, is on the night watch, you know. And that guy stays awake all night. Nothing happens. The movie would be really boring. But it's usually that guy falls asleep, right? And then the bad guys come, and then something happens. That is not so with the Lord. It says, He watches over you, will not slumber. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He guards us, and He gives us a perfect guarding. And He's given us the Holy Spirit as our guide. Philippians 4:7 says, And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He's promised that to us. Verses 5 and 6 says, The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, the shade brings comfort. Thank the Lord we have this beautiful tree here that's providing us shade right now. But He gives us the things we need. He gives us comfort. The shade at our right hand. And the sun will not harm us by day or the moon by night. And that kind of harkens back to that journey to Jerusalem the pilgrim's on, right? And you can imagine, you got to keep going. And especially in that land, there's a lot of sun. And I'm sure they were not unfamiliar with sunstroke. The sun will not harm you by day. And then the moon by night. Well, at nighttime, what happens at night? Things go bump in the dark, right? And it seems like at nighttime, our imaginations are going to run wild if they're going to run wild at any time, right? At the nighttime. Well, what about this? Maybe it's because we have time to think about things. Well, what about this? What about this that went on today? And what about this tomorrow? The nighttime. The sun will not harm you by day or the moon by night. It's around-the-clock protection. That's what the Lord gives us. Verse 7 says, The Lord will keep you from all harm. And you know, God has always protected His people. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, didn't He? And He led them in the wilderness and eventually into the promised land. And God gave us Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, that we could say yes to Him and we would be protected from even God's own wrath and judgment for sin. The Lord protects us. John 10 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He protects us. We see this in the communion that we just received, that the Lord says, My body and my blood given for you. That's the good news. He's protected us. He's called us on this path. He'll protect us on that path and carry us to the journey, the end of the journey that He has for us. But right now, we journey in the everything in between, right? A lost world suffering from sin. And we experience suffering and pain on a daily basis. And sometimes we see that the world is a dangerous place. If you ever watch the news, especially now, we hear of a virus that's out to get us. The world is a dangerous place. And we're reminded, especially as we get a little bit older, we can't do the things we used to be able to do, right? We suffer pain from knees and from hips and from cancer that maybe has even reappeared. And we think of another journey that one among us has been on, not among us right now at the moment, but the Apostle Paul. He think of the journeys that he went on, and we see in the Word. You know, shipwrecks, people trying to kill him, being in jail, beatings, and even being in prison. But what was his response to that in this time in between? In Romans 8:18, he says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us." And he says in verse 28, Romans 8, "And we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And then in verse 35, he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor the coronavirus, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." My paraphrase. The story of God's redemption in redemptive purposes in the face of tragedy can be seen in a story that I'm sure you may have heard before, but Horatio Stafford, anybody remember who he is? He suffered several traumatic events in his life, and the first two were the death of his four-year-old son and the Great Chicago Fire of 1871, which ruined him financially. He had been a successful lawyer and had invested significantly in property in the area of Chicago that was damaged by the Great Fire. His business interests were further hit by the economic downturn of 1873, which time he had planned to travel to Europe with his family on a sailing ship. In a late change of plan, he sent the family ahead while he was delayed on business concerning zoning problems by the Great Chicago Fire. And while crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the ship sank rapidly after a collision with another sea vessel. And all four of Stafford's daughters died. His wife, Anna, survived and sent the now famous telegram that says, "Saved alone." Shortly afterwards, Stafford traveled to meet his grieving wife and was inspired to write these words as his ship passed over where his daughters had died in the ocean. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know, it is well, it is well with my soul." You know the song, don't you? A couple of the verses near the end. "But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest for my soul." And then, "And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. A song in the night, O my soul." Can you imagine being through that situation? And then the Lord giving you the grace to respond in that way. Not all journeys have the wonder in them, but God is in every journey that we're on. And he will protect us and he will guide us. You know, King James in verse 7, "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life," says, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. He preserves the bodies of his people, sometimes from diseases and disasters, from death, till the appointed time comes." This is a commentator that I read based on, "He will preserve thee from all evil. He preserve thy soul." The commentator says, "He preserves the bodies of his people, sometimes from diseases and disasters, and from death till the appointed time comes. And then he preserves their dust in the grave and raises it up on the last day. But more especially their souls, the redemption and the salvation which he undertook and has effected. and which are preserved by him safe to his coming kingdom and glory. You know, sometimes we do experience God's protective hand at work in our journeys in this in-between time. And I'm thinking of another trip and journey that we went on. It's been quite a while now, when we used to have a sheep or two on our property, and we went to the fiber fair up in Boonville. We decided to go up there and see what that was all about. We hadn't been in the county all that long. And it was in the spring, and it had rained a little bit, and we went to the fiber fair, and that was an exciting time, I guess. I don't remember that much about it, because as we were traveling home in the minivan, we had Zachary with us at that time, or Highway 128, you know, where that road is kind of straight, and then it drops down into the windies that end up in Cloverdale. Well, just before that part started, we were driving down the straight side, and there's an embankment on the right-hand side. The road's kind of narrow there. Pickup truck came up over the rise in front of us and then started spinning. Lost control and was spinning out of control and heading right for us. And I got over as far as I could, but there wasn't much place to go. And that pickup truck spun and probably missed the front end of our car and our mirror by about 2 inches as it spun past us like that, and didn't hit anybody behind us. Got off to the side of the road. We were off to the side of the road. We looked at each other and said, "Is everybody okay?" And everybody in shock said, "Yeah, we're okay." So we got in the car. We said, "Thank you, Lord, for preserving us in this time." And we were able to see just how close that came. Of course, we got down into Cloverdale and stopped to get something to eat, and that's when I started shaking then. So, but the Lord preserved us in that journey. We experienced God's protective hand at work. Verse 8 says, "The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." At all times, our coming and going, our daily going out and our daily coming in, even in these crazy times that we live in, he's going to watch over you as you come and you go. Hebrews 5 and 6 says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid." You know, the end of our journey gets closer every day. And rejoice that you have a place with him. And let him keep you, guard you, provide for you in the in-between as you travel this road. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you that you watch over us. You are the great God, the maker of heaven and earth, and you do not let our foot slip. You do not sleep. You do not slumber. You watch over us. You give us good things, and you'll keep us from all harm. Watch over our lives, both now and forevermore. And we bless you and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.